how did you kind of overcome that, you know, those deficiencies that you felt that you had? Like, you know,
ask a billion questions. Questions, questions, questions. Stay the hell away from other departments. Don't touch their stuff. Stay with your guys, and they'll and ask questions, learn.
I feel like just doing it too, right?
Yeah.
You kind of got to dive in and sink or swim, you know?
You get the hang of it, you know? ACs are, you know, something you need to be when you're in ACs. You do need to be creative with rigging.
I thought you were going to say cold, you know, AC.
Cold? Yes, that too, that too. You need to, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I couldn't resist.
Hold on, guys.
That's great.
Damn, I got the womp womp. That's it, I'm quitting.
Consider doing ASMR?
No.
I think you got a good voice for it.
Do I really?
I think so.
People at this job keep saying I'm good at things, but I don't think I am.
He'll be doing things like this.
Like, I don't
know.
He'll be doing things like this. They do, like, weird things like, do you hear that? Like, yeah, that does nothing for me, but God bless.
Yeah, I guess people like that, into that type of thing. All right, so we are officially rolling.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Imposter Syndrome Podcast. Let's see if I remember how to do this. Hear that applause?
No, I don't hear the applause. No? We're rusty. This is the first one in 2024.
Yeah, I think it is. That's why.
Damn, first pod. There we go. There's
the applause. Yeah. You're too kind.
Well, yeah. And today we have a special guest. We haven't had a guest in a little while, a couple of episodes, so it's exciting to have someone back. We have my good friend now, Colin. Colin is here with us today. I met Colin at B&H. This guy.
I just noticed that the guy's like, yeah!
No applause. yeah, Colin is a great guy. I mean, you know, hit it off instantly. Felt like he'd be the perfect person to have on the show. Colin has a lot of experience in the filmmaking industry. He's been around. He's a really intelligent guy, someone who's helped me learn a lot. So it's a pleasure to have you on, Colin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. How you been? You been doing good?
Yeah, doing all right. Can't complain. Yeah. New apartment. It's all right.
Yeah.
New apartment.
Sweet. How is that new place treating you?
It's all right. It's better. It gets a little better every day.
Furnished yet?
Furnished, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Nice. I know when you first move into a place and, like, you don't have shit.
And it's kind of just empty. You hear it's that
just,
echo.
Yeah, just space. Yeah. Dead space. It sucks.
Dead space. That's a good video game.
Oh, yeah. Never played it. That's a little too spooky for me.
It is really terrifying.
Is it?
Yeah.
I played the, they came out with like a remake of it recently on PC. And I was talking to Keanu and I was telling him, I'm like, this is one of those games that, like, legit, it's kind of scary. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like at the edge of my seat at all times because something can just jump out at you. Like,
a lot of jump scares.
Games. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love horror. I love it, but I don't like being in the shit.
Exactly. Yeah. You're
I like watching other people
it,
in the shit. Exactly. Like, yeah. Don't turn down that fucking hallway.
Right.
I don't want to be the guy turning down the hallway.
Like, yeah. Like, when you're watching a movie, like, it's on them to figure it out. But if you're playing, like, a game and you're the person that's in that, it's on you now. You got to make a decision to run or fight or hide.
I did just play an excellent horror game. It's in a series. It's called Fears to Fathom or something like that. But there is one. It was about cultists in Washington State in, like, a forest. And you're, like, a fire watch guy. And there's cultists in the woods, and it's really good, but it's spooky as hell.
Kind of sounds like The Forest. I don't know if you played that.
I know of it. Yeah, but I haven't played it.
Forest is a really good, terrifying game.
Yeah, I've seen some of the creatures in the caves. Yeah, oh,
and you
my
get to
God.
Play with friends, which is nice too. You get to play with like four people.
Oh, okay. I like games like that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of those games I feel like are usually like a one person game. And you kind of get through it.
Yeah.
That's why I like that Friday the 13th game.
When you yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, you get to play with people. It's more fun. It's more exciting.
I'm on a list right now on Steam. They're released. This guy, this indie developer, is making a War of the Worlds survival game that I think you can play with friends. I don't. They haven't showed anything for co-op or something, but it's based on like the Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds.
Oh, fine. Oh,
it's got those giant tripods, so that looks like a stressful game, but I really want to play it.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, and I hope it's co-op. I hope we can do it. We can play together. That would be awesome. But the game looks it looks great.
The games nowadays where you can't play with friends, it's a little annoying to me, honestly, because I feel like nowadays, like in 2024, like I'm not really that interested in playing games by myself. And the sad part is that all of the best games, they're single player games.
Yeah,
the best ones.
That's what I was like annoyed about with the Harry Potter, the Hogwarts game.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I like beat the game and now I'm just never going to touch the game ever again because there's no point to do it. You know what I'm saying? To play it. And I thought originally that they were going to have like
multiplayer
modes, or at least like at least an open world. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody's there. You know what I'm saying?
Next time.
Yeah, they dropped the ball there. I don't know if there's going to be a next time.
I mean, here's the thing. Multiplayer games, they're hard to make. They kind of ruin video games in a way. Like, you add multiplayer in a game, and it's significantly worse than it would have been if it was single player.
Mm.
So, I don't blame these, like, game publisher companies or whatever who...
No, I blame them.
Who decide not to make them.
Nah, you're lazy.
I don't know about lazy. Video games are hard to make.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never made one. But I think they're complicated. I could agree there. It's probably not the easiest thing to do.
I mean, Elder Scrolls 6 has been in development for over a decade now. It takes a long time.
Longer to make movies in some cases, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy. 10 years? Just think about this. If you started 10 years ago, you have to go back. And, like, the technology, like, graphic, there's so many things that, like, improved. And then you have to go, like, back and... Like, you know, like, update everything, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Optimizing is difficult. That's why a lot of indie games aren't optimized very well. Excellent games, but they run like shit because they're just poorly optimized.
Yeah, and that is a huge problem with some games where, like, they're good, but they just run really badly. It's really hard to kind of get everything to work how it should be.
Like that game, Fears to Fathom, graphically, it looks like it's from 2004. Like, it definitely looks old, but it just requires so much hardware to run it because it's just not well optimized.
It's PC gaming.
A lot of details in them too, right?
PC gaming is really technical, super technical, honestly, which is why I don't necessarily use my PC for gaming. I just use it for, like, editing, writing, or whatever the case. Speaking of editing and writing... tell us a little bit about your experience in the filmmaking industry, because, you know, I'm somebody who's made films and all of that. I've never done it on like a scale of like, you know, being on like a Hollywood film set or even like an indie film set.
Right.
You know,
it's, well, I started, I went to Full Sail University.
In Florida.
I went there from 2014 to 2017. Got a Bachelor's of Science in Film Production.
Were you there during the WWE?
Yeah, I went to a few of the shows, or one of the shows, because they... What is it? It's like what league is that?
NXT?
NXT. That's where it was, I believe, right? In Full Sail.
Yeah.
That's where they were shooting it.
Yeah, they had a thing with WWE. So I went to one of those shows, and it was fun. It was fun. But when I was in school, I quickly gravitated towards the position of first assistant director, first AD. Kind of the it's your set, you're in charge, you're making sure everything's going smooth, stuff like that. So all throughout school, I did first AD work, and then towards the end of school, I realized I do like ADing, but I'm a little bit more of a nerd, so I switched over to camera. So I started doing camera, and then by the time I graduated Full Sail, I did an internship at Disney World, and then First job, first real job out of school was at a photo studio as an editor.
So what were you doing at Disney World? What was that internship like?
So it was a show pro, and I also did cast. I was a driver at the Kilimanjaro Safari ride at Animal Kingdom. That was cool. That was rough. It was nice working around those animals and stuff. An elephant was just born, so there was a baby elephant running around.
That's pretty cool.
It was incredible. Yeah, loved being around those animals. But the job, it sucked. But after all this, moved back to Connecticut for a few months, and then straight to New York City. It was either going to be Los Angeles or New York City, but I decided New York City because I like the cold. In Los Angeles, it's too hot.
Yeah, it's hot in LA for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know. The people in Los Angeles kind of rub me the wrong way a little bit. So
yeah, I can see that. You seem more of a East Coast kind of guy.
Proud New Englander right here. Yeah, I'm always wearing the LL Bean. I gotta represent New England.
So was that like something that, like, is this something that you wanted to do? Like, you know, when you decided to go to school in the first place, did you already, like, have this plan in mind that you were going to work in the film industry? Mm-hmm. Or were they, like, kind of something that you kind of just did and then kind of fell into it?
Yeah, well, I was always a huge fan of movies and stuff. Movies have always been one of my favorite things in life. I think when I decided to join when I decided that's what I want to do is work in the industry, it was actually a specific movie that just kind of triggered that. And I was in 9th or 10th grade, and it was the movie Super 8.
Ah,
I saw that movie and I was like, that's what I want to do that.
Was that the kids with the powers?
No, that was, it was, it's kind of like Goonies, but with an alien.
Oh,
it's really excellent. J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it's a good film. I remember. Yeah,
I don't remember Super 8.
You might have seen it, honestly. Like it was a kind of, I feel like it was a big deal.
Yeah. Ella Fanning and Kyle Chandler, National Treasure, that man. National Treasure. What did he do? He was big, famous for like Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like you'd like that show. Are you a Friday Night Lights fan or?
I haven't seen it.
No, okay, yeah. Okay.
I thought that was a movie.
Is that the football one?
It's a show and a movie, I think. Yeah, the football.
I've seen the movie.
I saw the movie. I've seen the movie. Yeah. Friday Night Lights. I didn't watch the show. Yeah.
I didn't know there was a show, Friday Night Lights. Yeah. It's about football, I'm assuming.
Football, yeah. College team, I believe, yeah.
It's the TV adaptation, I guess, of like the movie and whatnot.
Mm. That makes sense.
So Super 8 is kind of what...
That's what triggered it.
What about that movie?
I was just going to ask you that. What about Super 8 specifically was like, yeah, fuck, I'm going to do this?
It wasn't even necessarily that the kids were... Because they were making a movie in the movie. They were making like a zombie flick for a contest. It wasn't really that. It was that main character, Joel Courtney's character. I don't know their characters' names. But... I just thought that J.J. Abrams just got a hell of a performance out of that kid. And I'm like, I want to do that. I want to get performances out of people like that. Now, I didn't end up going the director route. I actually kind of just gave up on the creative side altogether at school. I was like, you know what? I want to do more of the technical stuff. So when I moved to New York, I moved in with two roommates who went to the school. We were all in the same class and stuff. So that was great. And she was already working. She had been working while I was off doing Florida things and photo studio stuff. So as soon as I got there, within a couple of weeks, she got me my first gig as a production assistant.
Oh, wow.
And it was on, at the time, the working title was Kaleidoscope. And now it's the official title is Dating Around. It's on Netflix. It's a reality dating show. Garbage. And it was a nice shoot. They treat you really well on reality TV.
Really?
They treat you really well. It's like one day you're there and they're like, oh yeah, we have a special treat for you guys, lobster rolls. And now I'm not a big seafood guy, but I know like lobster, that's fancy.
It's pretty expensive.
Right?
Yeah.
No, they treated us really well. They fed us really well. They had like chefs. It was stupid insane. So on that set... On the last day of that, I was friendly with my key PA, who's like the head of the production assistant department. he let me mingle with the camera department whenever he didn't need me for anything. So I would go and just help out camera department, network with them. And I got really friendly with the digital imaging technician, the DIT. And he got me on his next project as a camera utility. And that was the first. And I got really lucky. This happened really early. I graduated to camera team really early. I got lucky. And you know, when they say it's all about who you know, they're not lying. It's the truth. So last day of set, I get a phone call from the UPM, the unit production manager on this movie. And she's like, hey, I got your information from, I forget who Alfred, the DIT's name was Alfred. And she's like, hey, I need a camera utility for a movie we're shooting. The movie was a Mexican production. Yad No Estoy Aquí, or here it's I'm No Longer Here. And that's on Netflix as well. They had a deal with Netflix. Now, fortunately, I didn't work on the Mexican unit. I really would have liked to, but it's just cheaper to hire
people
positions
there
and then yeah. when they're here, hire that. So I was on obviously the New York team.
What's a camera utility?
Camera utility is, you can almost call a camera utility like a camera production assistant or camera PA. My first AC, my first assistant camera, he immediately was like a mentor. And I worked with him a lot after this first job. He was the smartest guy I think I've ever met. Like, he knew everything. He was local 600. He was unionized. He had his own kit, everything. Smartest guy I've met in the film industry for sure. He taught me a lot.
He knew his stuff, huh?
He knew his stuff, yeah. And that's what I love about camera team. Camera team's just a bunch of nerds. So is sound. Sound and camera team. Well, I mean, you have to be a mega nerd to be a digital imaging technician.
Yeah, DITs are they're deep into their nerdiness for sure. They're really smart. They know all the specs. They know about all the different codecs and everything
that
you need. Like, those guys really they know their stuff.
You have to be like that though.
Yeah, you
especially when you're dealing with like any type of technology. I feel like if you don't know everything, eventually you're gonna run into a brick wall. You don't want to have those situations on any set or anything, like any project that you're doing where you run into a problem, you're like, fuck.
Exactly. I mean, and there were some issues. This was an indie movie set. You know, it's not the biggest budget in the world. So there were some setbacks.
Right.
And like, first, one of the biggest, this pissed me off big time because I was the one who had to sit around and wait for these goddamn cards to offload, the DIT to offload the cards. We were shooting on an Alexa Mini, the Alexa Mini 1, the classic, the Alexa Mini classic. And we were shooting 4K RAW on CFast cards. And the goddamn production team got HDD drives. So it took 4 to 5 hours at the end of the day to offload footage.
All of that footage.
Yeah. So I was just sitting there waiting for the DIT to offload because they didn't get the appropriate drives. They got HDD drives.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are shooting 4K RAW and you have drives from 1995? What the hell?
Yeah, they need some SSDs in there.
Yeah. That was unacceptable. I mean, it's fine. It's whatever. All I did was just sit around.
But that's why you still got paid, right?
Yeah, I was getting paid overtime at that point.
Yeah, so fuck it.
I mean, that's why those technical aspects of the job is, you know, really, really important. And you gotta like really know your stuff. Even something simple like that, like, you know, using an SSD versus a hard drive, you know, it's a little bit of an oversight or undersight at that point. And that's just some things that, you know, if you have that type of position, you know, you should know. And I'm sure the person who was responsible for that probably felt awful.
They probably got an earful.
Yeah, I mean, me and the DIT, me and the DIT were just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It every single day, we were just sitting around.
And the sound guys, they're also super technical. When I was in film school, I had our sound teacher, Travis. He was amazing, but he was way too smart to teach us. He just knew so much that it was just too much information to learn. It was really difficult to follow because he was just so smart.
Yeah.
And he just used all these terms that were so foreign to us. And he would try to explain
sound
things
like
to
Chinese.
Us. But yeah, it sounded like a different language. He would try to explain stuff to us, but it was really hard to, you know, kind of comprehend just the way that he taught because he was so far advanced at that point than we could ever imagine.
Right, so, absolutely.
What was the reason that you decided to go the technical route versus the creative route? What changed?
Just really interested in cameras. I always was, because that's kind of like the whole, that is the movie. Without a camera, it's not a movie. It's a
is that what
stage,
you've always
it's a
been,
play.
Is that what, like, what you've always been passionate about?
Yeah.
Like the actual camera work?
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, well, speaking of that, I didn't give up on the creative side altogether. I just did it on my own. So I was, when I got out of school, while I wasn't working, while I was at home, just taking a second, just a break for a couple of months, I'm like, I'm going to write a feature. I'm going to write a feature film. I'm going to do 110 pages. It's going to plus. I mean, I wanted to keep it under 120. Okay. But and it wasn't really anything I was planning on doing anything with. It was kind of a test to see if I could do a feature. And I developed a strategy where I was flashcarding. This is a really, really nice way to lay out the story before writing it. So every single flashcard represents one scene. So you write the scene heading, you write the scene description, and then you say which characters are going to be in this scene. You do that for every single scene. And you just lay it out on a table. And then you go to write.
Sounds like a long process.
Mm-hmm. You go to write the spec script. Which, the spec script is not a technical script. That comes later. You don't talk about shots. You don't talk about lighting. The spec script, for all intent and purposes, is a piece of literature. So you write the spec script. You do 4 or 5 drafts of that. I never wrote a technical script because there was no point. The reason why I wasn't going to do anything with this script was actually based on Fallout. It was a Fallout script.
Of course it was.
Yeah. And it was, I'm really proud of myself. Unfortunately, I lost it. My old computer, it died and the hard drive was compromised.
Man. Imagine you lost it and somebody found it and that's the Fallout movie that just came out. The TV show that just came out. You're like, damn, this looks really familiar.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but my story was way better.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting story about two, not to get graphic, and it was a very violent script for sure. It's Fallout.
I mean, Fallout was violent,
It's about two sex slaves on Caesar's Legion, and they escape or whatever, and they have to get to the California border, and that's where the follower. Apologies if you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, they
have to get to the followers of the apocalypse.
Okay,
who are kind of like refuge. And they just go on a whole adventure with these two guys, these wanderers and stuff, and the Caesar's Legion is. The Legion is trying to get the girls back because them escaping sets a bad precedent.
Yeah,
because
now
like
they got
that.
No more sex slaves.
Yeah, yeah.
Till I get them back, I mean with girls.
The main villain, his name, he was a Legion. His name was Septimus. And I really wanted, he was the only character I actually wanted. I had an actor who I wanted him. He was the only one where I was like, okay, I know exactly who's going to play
Did
this.
Did you have this actor in mind prior to writing the script?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm totally.
Like a Greek, like.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Roman. Caesar's Legion. Yeah, they base themselves on like ancient Rome and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's fine.
They crucify people. Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons.
Who's that?
He was he was Alfred, actually, in the Ben Affleck Batman movies.
Okay.
I don't know if I've seen the Ben Affleck Batman movies.
You don't need to see him.
Well, he doesn't have a full movie, but he had
Batman vs. Superman, and then Justice League.
Justice League, and he was also in The Flash briefly.
Right, in The Flash. He was also in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they didn't actually do a movie for him, but he was in the DC Connected Universe movies or whatnot for a bit. They were talking about doing a movie, but they wound up. I think eventually decided he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, because who's gonna watch it?
Me.
It
terrible. I hate Batman movies.
Whole Snyderverse was it failed. I really liked Man of Steel. I thought it was excellent.
I didn't love Man of Steel.
That's with the what's his face?
Henry Cavill.
Cool. Yeah.
We should get him on the show. He's big nerd.
Yeah, he's a super nerd.
Love it.
You got that contact? We'd gladly take it.
I wish. That would be amazing, right? That would send you guys into the stratosphere.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You ain't lying.
He's Superman in my book.
Oh, yeah. He's perfect. He's the perfect Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Henry Cavill. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you wrote the feature, again, like kind of as a test. I can attest to that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've written some things that, like, you know, you sometimes as a writer, you write stuff and you just know, like, it'll probably never see the light of day visually, mm-hmm. but it's still nice to kind of go through that process of, you know, writing, whether that be to develop your skills as
keep
a storyteller,
you
keep you sharp, to help you develop characters and, you know, improve your writing skills. I mean, yeah, if you don't have money to write a feature, that doesn't mean you shouldn't, because, you know, you may get the opportunity to do so and you need to be able to deliver. So that's great. And you said earlier about getting that first job, how it kind of was lucky. Mm. But I kind of beg to differ. You're the one who put in that legwork to, you know, make those connections and do that networking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get that opportunity. Because there were other people there who probably had similar opportunities to do that networking. But you're the one who capitalized on that the most. Mm. So, you know, hats off to you for really being, you know, forward enough and smart enough to kind of put your hat in the, you know.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it was fun. And I did a lot of loadouts after that. A lot of loadouts, load-ins, like at Panavision New York. And there's another rental house. I totally forgot what it's called, but it's down. It's over by where the Intrepid is on the west side.
Yeah, but like not Chelsea. Is it Chelsea?
Close to Chelsea, I'd say. Yeah, like it's right across the street from the aircraft carrier, from the Intrepid. Yeah. So I did a lot of that, but honestly, most of what I did in the industry was reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the MTV Music Awards or Movie Awards. I can't remember it was at that, what's that mall down in at the World Trade Center? That really funky building.
Brookfield.
Yeah.
With the Oculus?
It Oculus, something like that. Yeah.
The building that looks like a dinosaur rib cage.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Dinosaur rib cage.
We had Nicki Minaj. She was performing. She's a pain in the ass, man.
Is she?
Yeah, part of my French, but fuck her.
Part of my French. Fuck her.
Yeah.
What about that
She's
experience?
A nightmare?
She just wouldn't stop smoking weed in the green room in the Oculus. And they're like, Nikki, you can't smoke weed in here. And she's like, here, I'm rich.
Right.
She can go to hell.
Hear me out. You'd probably say fuck me too. Because if I was there and I was performing, I'm smoking my weed wherever the fuck I want. Not you, no ADPA. Y'all can all go to hell because I'm smoking my weed. Every time.
Yeah, I mean.
ten times out of 10 times, I'm going to smoke my weed.
Celebrity entitlement is definitely rampant. I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to. You can have some sort of courtesy, but I guess.
Professional integrity, I think, is something that everyone should.
At a minimum. Like, yes, you're the artist. You're here. This is your show. But you should show some sort of restraint in some ways. Or at least at the minimum, try to come up with some sort of compromise for the situation that'll make everyone.
Was it cold outside?
No, it was the dead of summer.
Oh, see,
it was
hot
as all hell.
That's different. I would probably just go outside and smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have just like. All right.
If it's the wintertime, I get it. I'm like, am I going out there? It's fucking snowing. if I'm able to smoke in this green room, I'm going to smoke in this green room. But again, if it's summertime.
Yeah, find me a back
door. She's also a celebrity. Yeah. You don't want you know what I'm saying? Smack dab in the city. You don't want that, you know, those crowds of people seeing you and rushing you, like, probably not enjoyable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, she was, obviously Nicki Minaj is like a mega pop star, right? So.
Oh, yeah, she's huge. By all accounts. So you were doing these loadouts.
A lot of loadouts. I did that a lot with the the first assistant camera that I mentioned earlier, the one who kind of took me under his wing. His name is Jaime. I won't say his last name. But shout out Jaime if you're here, if you're listening. He's probably not. But
if he's listening, he's probably not.
He didn't seem like a podcast kind of guy. He was wonderful. Wonderful guy. We had just did a lot of, he's like, he always had me in mind. Like if he needed something, I was there.
Yeah. I mean, that's great, you know, to have those type of people that you can count on to kind of help.
Yeah.
Build that network.
Build the network up.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard to do. Like networking is obviously it's not hard to do. You just got to put yourself out there. But building meaningful relationships is hard to do when you're trying to break into, I think, any industry. You know, everybody has like, I feel like, ulterior or hidden motives. Like people do things for you, not because they want to help you, because they know it's going to benefit them in some type of way.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, that's any industry though. Finding like, you know, good people, and when you find them, it's awesome, you know, because like you said, you've met that guy, you guys clicked, you got work from that.
Yeah.
Like a couple times.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Have you produced any like short form content yourself, like a short film or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I have. I have my student projects that I did in school. One that I first AD'd on, so I didn't. Can really use it on a reel, I suppose. At first he did it on one, and then the other one I wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just and I think I just I was on set for that one. I think I was just a PA because it wasn't my movie. I was working on another movie. But I wrote it and my script got chosen. It was about a two guys in a missile silo, and they're about to launch a missile. It's called DEFCON 1. It was a comedy. It was a comedy. I wonder if I can find it. If I can't find it, I have to text my buddy Raph because he directed it.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Hit Raph up.
Yep.
Need to see that.
It's funny.
The comedy, the dark comedy. So yeah. Yeah, the world's about to end, but
yeah, there were some sound issues, unfortunately. We were using the Sennheiser 416s, you know. Industry standard. Yeah, it's like a $1,500 microphone. But
trouble with.
Yeah, we had some issues with the lavalier microphones. They were picking up all sorts of nonsense. It's a student film, you know. What do you expect?
Yeah, of course you're gonna have those type of hiccups.
Yeah,
but I've had my fair share.
We casted an outside actor, and then we also my good friend Ahmed is. He acted in it too. He was a really good guy. Really good guy.
Nice.
I'll see if I can find it. I'll send it your way for sure.
Yeah. I always love like seeing other people's work.
Do you have a project that you're like super proud of?
My Fallout script.
Yeah.
I'd say. Well, you know, and there was one I started working on. It was kind of like a Lovecraftian Victorian horror movie. Now, I never got to the screenplay part, but I was writing like short stories about it. I was really developing characters and like the religion in the universe, but I never got to the screenplay.
Right.
Is that something you'll ever get around to, you think, or just shelved?
Yeah, maybe. It's something I'm really interested in. It's that universe that I'm sort of creating, like a horror universe. One of my biggest inspirations for it would be the video game Bloodborne.
Okay.
I've never played that.
It's, oh man, what a game. What a game.
Yeah, Bloodborne is pretty good.
That is one of the best.
I mean, the title sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Just off rip.
Yeah, lots of blood in that game.
It's gory.
It's gory, but it's also about blood. Like, there's like the old blood, which is like this godlike eldritch blood.
It's like one of those From Software games, right?
From Software, yeah.
They're the one who made that?
Yeah. It sucked, though, because it was a PlayStation exclusive. That's fine. Luckily, I had a PlayStation, but it's like everyone needs to experience this wonderful game, and only people on PlayStation could. It was unfortunate.
Well, I'm glad I'm a PlayStation owner.
Yeah.
You're right.
I recommend playing that. It's a hard game, but it's just...
Is it a long game?
It's pretty long.
Yeah. It's one of those like hard, super hard games like Elden Ring.
Like Elden Ring?
I grinded.
I was watching Kai the other day play, I think it was Elden Ring. don't know. The thing with that game, just like every time you watch this kid, he's just fighting a boss. Then you finish, and then he's fighting another boss. Yeah. Like, that's the whole game. It's just fighting giant creatures. And then one of them was a dragon who had a fucking sword in his mouth. He's a dragon. Why does he need a sword?
Elden Ring. That's why.
I am officially retired from From Software games, though. I played Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 3, and Bloodborne. Loved every one of them. Dark Souls 3 was the hardest thing I've ever done. And after completing Dark Souls 3, I was like, okay, I think I'm done with From Software games. They are very good, but they are extremely stressful.
I didn't always like those type of games, honestly. Like, I stayed away from, like, you know, Bloodborne and Dark Souls and things like that for the reasons of, like, they're really stressful. It's stressful. I always used to say, like, why would I want to play a game that makes me that upset? That being said, Elden Ring came out, and I figured, you know what? I'll give it a shot.
Let's get back in.
And, I kind of appreciate the difficulty behind the games. It's so much more rewarding than, like, other games. Like, you know, like, I played Spider-Man, all the Spider-Man games, platinum them and everything, but...
Oh, wow.
I never got, like, that satisfaction of, like, yeah, like, my skill is the reason why this... Well, like, why I, you know, was victorious in this. But you play Elden Ring and you get slapped up by a boss a couple of times, and then you finally get that victory. I mean, the satisfaction is, you know, it's really like hard to replicate. You
feel yourself evolving, like, in those games.
It's so good. Better and better. Exactly. You know, you evolve. And I kind of learned to love those games. Like, not Elden Ring. There's another game.
Baldur's Gate?
No, not Baldur's Gate. Remnant of the Ashes. Remnant 2. So that was like...
I don't know
really,
that one.
Oh, man. It's so good. It's like Dark Souls, but with guns. Okay. Like, you use guns, like, and you have, like, abilities and everything like that.
I like guns too. I like games with guns. Those are actually my favorite games to play. Any games that has guns, I'm in.
Right. Love Absolutely.
It's a great game. And I remember when I beat it, and, like, again, I was so satisfied. I want to tell you, I fought that final boss more times than I could count on one hand at minimum. Yeah. And then when I finally was victorious, you know, I was super happy. And I initially tried to fight the boss by myself. Then I tried to fight the boss with my friend Keanu. And we got close a couple times, kept dying. And then I fought the boss again by myself, finally defeated him. And I was so excited that I like, called Keanu. I was like, yo, like, I beat the boss. Get on. I got you. Like, I'm going to take care of this. Like, you know, I was able to slap the boss after that. At that point, I became the boss. You know, but again, that's really hard to replicate in, like, other video games. I appreciate those type of games.
Yeah, that's something bosses are something that Bethesda I don't think ever got right.
It's just not that type of game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because there are bosses, but they don't feel like difficult. They're not. They're just like another enemy almost, just with, like, maybe more health.
Maybe a little stronger.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack a little bit talk to us about how it felt when you were getting these opportunities on different film sets. You said you did, like, a lot of reality TV, and you said, like, this kind of happened kind of quick, which doesn't usually happen. Like, you know, you kind of get out of school and then you instantly have these opportunities.
It, like, almost never happens, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of rare. I mean, I had some opportunities straight out of school, I'm not gonna lie, but again, it's still rare, despite the fact of experiencing that myself and even knowing a few others who've experienced that. So talk to me about how you felt, you know, in those environments. Like, you know, did you feel like you were prepared? Did you feel like you belonged in that position so early on?
That's perfect. It definitely had imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely had imposter syndrome because it was so quick and I knew so little. Right. There was, you know, what my teacher in school always said, his name was Buck. His name was Buck and he liked to party. He was an awesome guy, very disciplined. He always said, your schooling, your, because he's the 35 millimeter teacher. That's the last project you do. We shoot on 35. He said, you just did your final project. You're almost graduating. Now the real schooling starts. now the school actually starts. So it was, there's a lot of stuff. So, I mean, it definitely was imposter syndrome. I was definitely overwhelmed. I didn't know a lot. And it was just constantly learning.
And how did you kind of overcome that, you know, those deficiencies that you felt that you had? Like, you know,
ask a billion questions. Questions, questions, questions. Stay the hell away from other departments. Don't touch their stuff. Stay with your guys, and they'll and ask questions, learn.
I feel like just doing it too, right?
Yeah.
You kind of got to dive in and sink or swim, you know?
You get the hang of it, you know? ACs are, you know, something you need to be when you're in ACs. You do need to be creative with rigging.
I thought you were going to say cold, you know, AC.
Cold? Yes, that too, that too. You need to, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I couldn't resist.
Hold on. Is this
that's great, that's great.
Damn, I got the womp womp. That's it, I'm quitting. I quit.
Yeah, ACing. I had to, we had a little Atomos Ninja that we weren't using as a recorder. The director just wanted something to see
right
wirelessly. And I had to basically build a little like holding rig for it. That took like an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
What did you rig it with?
Scrap?
I forget what it was. It was probably small rig. It was something like a small rig. Right. And then we had to get a wireless transponder to use it wirelessly.
And you got like some side handles, or you had to like rig the side handles?
Side handles. Okay. Yeah. I had my AC pouch had on my side.
Yeah.
Set, do you know, Setware?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got my little AC. I still have it. My set pouch. I had my my multi-tool and my hot gloves that I never used because I was on camera team.
Anybody I know who has like a little AC pouch kit or like a grip pouch kit, mm-hmm. no matter what they're doing in their life, they still have that kit.
Right.
Yeah. Like I did a photo shoot couple of weeks ago. Not a photo shoot. A short film. And Dom, he was there, you know, to handle lights for us, and he came with his little kit that he's had for years.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm ready. I got my kit with me and everything. Like, he was super prepared. He hadn't done it in forever, but he best believe he had that kit, and when it was time, he was ready.
Things like that, you don't really give up. You know, it's like a construction worker and his tools, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because I'm not in construction doesn't mean I don't got tools in the house. Exactly. You know? So like, it does make sense that everybody will have those. And I think it's kind of cool just to have, like, they're like little mementos of like your passion.
Yeah, to have that stuff laying around. You never know when you might need it. You know, I bought the 6700 recently, and you know, my plan was to rig it out and everything. And a lot of the stuff I did not have to buy. I already had.
Yeah.
You know, I already had a side handle. I already had a top handle. I already had the wireless transmitters and everything. Like, I had all that stuff. Hadn't been using any of it in forever, but you know, it was there, and I'm glad that I didn't get rid of that stuff, because I remember going through the list and thinking, oh wait, I already have this, you know. So it's good to hold on to that stuff. So we'll need you a little AC pouch at some point when we get on a set together.
Yeah, definitely. I gotta get a new belt because I'm a bit fatter than I was when I was. Thank you, beer.
I gotta get another belt.
It's a thank you, beer. Yeah,
bigger
right?
belt now. great thing about film industry too is you don't have to buy most of the equipment, because there's these things on film sets called expendables. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of expendables? So it's stuff like air canisters, gaffer tape, paper tape, et cetera, stuff like that. Expendables. So it's stuff that the production buys. And then when the production's over, whatever's left over, it's yours.
So yeah, you can
take
just
it
have
home
it.
With you.
Yeah, take it.
So I have a shitload of gaff. Well, I threw it out because it got nasty. But I had a shitload of gaffing tape, which is the best tape in the world.
Oh, yeah. Which I don't have any of anymore, which is kind of crazy. That
I wish
don't
I could
any.
Give it to you, but I threw it out.
Yeah, I mean, I need to buy a bunch more at this point or whatever. But like I said, you hold on to that tape. We were outside, and Dom is, we're talking about marks for the actors.
Right.
And we were using
right.
sticks, and Dom is like, I got tape. I'm like, you came extremely prepared.
Right.
It's like,
it was in my pouch.
Yeah, exactly.
Why I brought the pouch.
Right.
Got my little tools, got some tape. Shit, I even had enough room for a snack.
Yeah, exactly. And the new setware stuff, B&H sells setware equipment.
I didn't even know that. Really.
Yeah, they have setware stuff. They have the new equipment. They don't use buttons anymore. It's like this quiet latch.
It's an elastic.
So it's quiet.
I also found out Friday, I think it was yesterday, that B&H sells like B&H merch.
Really?
Like shirts and stuff?
From what I've seen, there was only hats. So like, you know, the 50th anniversary hats?
Yeah.
The black one and the gray one. There's even like a baseball green one. They sell it on the website. I didn't know that.
I think they also, because we all got B&H Legos at the 50th anniversary.
Got Legos?
Mine came with missing pieces, so that sucked. Yeah, but you can buy that on the website now, I believe. And it's like $80.
Yeah, $80.
But $80. It's not Lego, but it's not the brand Lego.
Yeah, right. It's the counter. It's
the counter with a couple green vests.
It's the photo counter with green vests. Wow. I wonder. I gotta see in my care package that they gave me when I got hired if that's in there, because they gave us a lunchbox full of stuff. Maybe not though.
I don't think it's in there. It was,
so that's probably not in there.
We got it at the 50th anniversary.
I'm gonna talk to somebody and see if I can get my.
I need my little Lego.
B&H Legos. Yeah.
It's just a countertop.
Hopefully yours comes with all the goddamn pieces. Mine did not.
Like the wall in B&H is lined with at least in the photo department, it's lined with a counter or whatever that goes basically around the edge of the entire department or whatever.
Okay.
You can go there for various things or whatnot, but yeah, I guess it's kind of like a iconic thing for B&H. If you go in there, you've probably had to go to the counter at one point.
At some point, yeah. Yes.
Standard procedure.
Yeah, you got to go there. Cool. So you've worked with a lot of technology, which is really awesome in a world full of technology. That being said, let me ask both of you a question.
All right.
Rich, as a musician, and Colin as a creative technical person within the film industry, what do you guys think about all of this AI technology that's coming out? Because ChatGPT or OpenAI, whatever you want to call it, they recently came out with a new update, which is called ChatGPT 4.0, and now you can do like a voice call with the OpenAI. You can do even like video call. You can't see on their end, but they can see you, and they can.
And it's not even really you, right? It's like an AI version of you.
No, it's you. So it's like if I called you on the phone or whatever, we did like a
WhatsApp type shit.
Or WhatsApp, we did like a video call or whatnot. One of the examples that they used was the guy was getting ready for an interview, and he told the AI like, "Hey, I'm about to have this interview or whatever. Can you tell me how I look?" And he pulled up the video option, and then a video feature of him showed up, and the AI told him that, oh yeah, you maybe need to fix your hair or something like that or whatever, do something. And he's like, oh, I don't really want to fix my hair. What if I just wear this hat? And he puts on like a hat, and it's like a like one of those fishing hats.
Yeah.
And the AI tells him like, I don't know about that. That seems like a little bit of a loud statement or whatever. And I'm like, how does the AI know that that's unacceptable for an interview?
I think it knows because...
algorithms.
I just think I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous for our industry because right now, right? Like you said, you wrote that script, the Fallout script. I can go on ChatGPT and just ask it to write me a Fallout script.
Yep.
We don't need you anymore. People don't need me anymore. They don't need like music. I could go right now and use my voice on AI and have it write me the best song in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just dangerous for the creative industries.
I agree with that.
Positives to it, obviously, but
I think there's
gonna be a little drawback.
Humanity at this point, we have a symbiotic relationship with technology. The future of Homo sapien evolution
will be cyborg.
Is technological. I can't wait till we can take our broken eyeballs out and put new ones in. That's so, gonna be awesome.
So you're okay with that? Like, what is it? What do they call it? Do you remember?
Oh, you're talking about like augmenting your body or whatever. Like, yeah, you know,
wasn't there like a name for it?
What is Elon Musk's system called? It's like Neuralink.
Neuralink, like so. Something like a Neuralink, or just like, let's say you know I'm in a God forbid I'm in a car accident and my arm fucking goes off and they Inspector Gadget me. Like, are you're down with that? You're
okay
with that?
Hell yeah.
I mean, they've already been doing that. We've had prosthetic arms and legs for the longest, the difference now would be they would be more functional than they were in the past, and more, you know, technology and computers within it than just like a little, you know, stub for your finger.
So I gave you an acceptable an example using me getting injured and then doing that. But what about the people who are going to go to get their arm cut off to just get a fucking metal arm now, or a robotic arm, or like you said, like. You know, people are fucking, they do all sorts of weird shit now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the gauges, like the huge gauge in the note. Like, they're doing shit like that now. Imagine when they're like, yeah, no, bro, I can give you a fucking laser eye.
I mean, I guess it would all depend on the usage. For example, if you're working in construction and you have the ability to get a metal arm, that's going to improve your functionality at work, then I think that's acceptable. However, if you're gonna go get a metal arm and you're an MMA fighter, then no, that's not acceptable. Like, you can't do MMA with a metal arm. That gives yourself a distinct advantage over, you know, your opponent. But, you know, in a working environment, the company might want that. Matter of fact, they might even pay for it. Okay, so that way they can get more productivity out of you. You're telling me if I give you this, pay for this metal arm, you're gonna be able to
do more muscle fatigue.
You're gonna be able to do what normally would take you 3 days. You're gonna be able to do that within a day. Yeah, I'll pay for it. You know what I mean? And that's why I think, and I get what you're saying with like how it can be dangerous. But I feel like I've tested AI pretty extensively. Honestly, probably more than people that I know. And you're right. Like, you can tell AI to write you a Fallout script. However,
I need to play around with ChatGPT.
You should. I'm telling you, you should play with it. But again, playing with it.
You can even throw in your script and ask it to like revise it or make it better, and it will.
It will.
With your ideas, which is crazy.
With your ideas. And again, that's how it, I feel like it should be used, you know.
As because a tool, if you, as an aid.
Exactly, as a tool.
Not as a crutch. Not as
exactly.
Like,
not as something I don't to be
wanna
lazy
do,
about.
Yes, I don't want to do this, but ChatGPT can do it, so I just, I'll have him.
Because chat is not going to make a better script than what Colin made for Fallout. If I tell chat to make me a Fallout script, I am 1,000% sure it would not be anywhere close to what Colin made. And there's one huge reason why that is, and that Colin is human. The AI is not.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is, it can be programmed to think and learn and know things, but it's not the same
thing. It'll never be as having a human mind.
A human mind with human feelings. You know what I mean? So it's I just feel like it's not going to be the same thing. I can ask chat to make me a song all I want. But if I don't add my human element to it, it's not going to be as good as a Rich Banks song. It's just not. Like, there's just no way it's going to be better. It should be used as a tool, like you said, to
an aid. It should be used to aid you, not to do the work for you. But I think that's the problem with us as people, is that we are looking for that option. We're looking for things to do it for us. People don't really care to use their brain or really care to do work. You know what I'm saying? Why would I do the work when I can just type in a prompt on fucking ChatGPT and it does it for me in a second?
Yeah.
I asked ChatGPT something about a logo the other day. I was trying to come up with like a logo for my clothing brand. And bro, like, I'm talking about like instantly. It was just like a whole bunch of things, the ideas, like meaning, like it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely give you a lot. But my thing with chat is, what I say to people when they ask me about AI is, it's often the difference between being first or being last. I remember when I got hired at B&H, when they first had my interview. And after the interview, they sent me an email the next day asking me to send them 3 references. So I contacted 3 different people and I asked them would they submit references for me on my behalf to, you know, be an H or whatnot. They all agreed that they would. However, I said to myself, how long is it going to take these three different people to send me a written resume? So what I did was I sent all three of them different things that I would say, you know, is this something that you would say about myself? Like, oh, you know, he's on time and, you know, he's helpful, whatever.
Awesome dude.
Awesome dude, you know, things like that. They said, yes, cool. So you know what I did? Instead of waiting a day, a week, however long for them to send me those references, I took those features. I told Chad, I need you to make me references based on this information. And it wrote three different references for me. I sent that to B&H 30 minutes later. That would have normally taken at minimum a day. There was no way all three of them were going to send me a written reference that day. There were no way. They have jobs, children, whatever. They're doing X, Y, and Z. They don't have the time to just do it right when I needed it. But I was able to, you know, talk to them and tell them, hey, like, you know, this is what I want to say. Is this cool? They say yes. After I had had AI write the references, I said to them, wow, like, does this sound like acceptable or whatever? They agreed. And then that was the end of that.
Oh, my God.
So
that's crazy. So you can ask, I'm on ChatGPT right now. How do I ask it to draw me a picture?
You probably can. There's different, like, there's different versions of chat within chat. So in different versions, you can ask it to do certain things or whatever. I don't know if in the chat version, it will draw a picture for you. But you can ask it, and it'll perhaps tell you if it can or cannot. You know, if you just kind of type it in, like, hey, can you draw me a picture of a cat? And it might just draw you a picture of a cat. I don't know if the chat version will do that, or you have to go into one of the sub versions of it instead.
Right.
What was the one that you used after?
After Effects.
It was four pictures.
Midjourney. That's like one of the most OP AI image generators that there is. Midjourney. That's like one of the ones that popped off really quickly that people use to make all these AI generated images, and you know that started a lot of controversy about artists and things like that. But I feel like in the future, being able to use AI will become an art form. Uh-huh. It will become a requirement for certain jobs. They will ask you in your interview whether
you know
or not
to use Excel, Microsoft Office, AI, ChatGPT, all exactly. those things. You're gonna be like, yeah.
All right, because again,
that's the future.
If it will increase productivity within the workplace, then employers are gonna want you to do it.
Yeah.
All right. If you can write your story and then have it revised and or looked over or whatever by AI versus having Tom and this other department do it, who has a whole bunch of other shit to do, and you can do it faster using AI, I promise you the companies in the future will definitely prefer hiring employees who know how to use it to some sort of extent.
And you know, AI, artificial intelligence, outside of the creative realm, is paramount in the scientific field, space travel, not even an option. If we're going to places like Mars, we're going to be out there for 8-9 months. We need artificial intelligence monitoring systems, working out problems. That's paramount.
Yeah, I mean, and all of this will be, you know, obviously monitored and maintained by humans, of course. Like, you know, you wouldn't just kind of leave it up to the AI to do all of these things without some sort of human guidance.
Right.
But again,
like a chaperone of sorts.
Exactly. But
you can't have a howl.
Exactly. But it's paramount. It's pivotal to these things. And, you know, people said, oh, well, you know, the robots are going to take our jobs or whatnot. Unfortunately, they will, and they are. Like, you walk into McDonald's, guess what? There's 10 kiosks, and then there's 5 workers behind the counter.
Yeah.
Okay, those kiosks, those are robots doing the job that the workers used to do when we were kids, all right? You used to have 10 people behind the counter when we were kids, and now you only got 5 because you don't need to go talk to a person to order your food anymore. You go to the kiosk, you press a couple of buttons, you pay for it, and then that's the end of that.
And the sad thing is that most people don't even want to. They don't want to have those conversations with people. Me, personally, I like going to the counter. I don't like the self-checkouts. I don't like it. I like to deal with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we said, it's also taking jobs, but I mean, most of these jobs are jobs people don't want anyway.
And that's another reason why they would be putting those AI things in. Why would you hire Sally? But
in a grocery store or something like that, like that's like kids' first jobs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, McDonald's, that's like a kid's first job.
Totally.
That was my first job, McDonald's, 14. Like,
yeah, my first job was the grocery store.
So it's like, yeah, you know, they're jobs that maybe adults don't want, but like a college kid or a kid that's in high school who's like just trying to make a little bit of money, they don't have like bag boys anymore.
Right.
Like, they used to have people that would bag your shit. Now they don't. Now they're just like,
bag it yourself.
Yeah, bag it yourself. Do you have your fucking reusable bags? Yeah, just crazy.
Yeah. Trader Joe's is still pretty analog. They still, it's a pretty human experience, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
They don't have any self-checkout, anything like that.
See, I like that. I don't mind if it's there.
Yeah, see, I'm a big introvert, so honestly, the self-checkouts are like my favorite thing.
If I go into CVS, I love it. Straight to self-checkout. McDonald's, straight to self-checkout. Like, I don't want to stand there and talk to you. And
I think it's situational.
100%. I agree.
I do like dealing with people. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say I don't use the self-checkout. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if there's a terrible line, I'm gonna go to self-checkout, especially if I only have an item or two. You know what I'm saying? But if I need to do something, like, I feel like you can't really do everything on those machines. Like, I still need to call a human over so I can type my phone number in, or I still need to call a human over because this deal didn't go through the way it was supposed to. I'd rather just mitigate all that shit and deal with the person.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if I'm calling someplace, I don't want to talk to a robot
at
all. Oh, yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk to a person. I don't care what language they speak, where they're from. I would prefer a person over a robot over the phone at all times.
I care where they're from. I'm not going to lie. I'm that.
I mean, obviously, preferably, I would want them to, you know, speak the same language and be from the same place as me for, you know, references. And
it sounds fucked up, but it's like, first of all, you know what it is? I get offended. I get offended when I feel like they're lying, you know, like they blatantly lie to you, right? They're like, oh, first of all, you have the heaviest Indian accent I ever heard, miss. Yeah. Your name isn't Mary.
Yeah.
All right? It's like, it's insulting. You're insulting my intelligence. Just tell me that your name is Patrice from fucking wherever. I don't care where you're from, but just don't sit here and try to like insult my intelligence.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sir, my name is Mary. No, it's not.
No.
You can't even pronounce Mary. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not, like, it's just, that's what bothers me.
Yeah, well, so.
Like, yes, sir, my name is Michael. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Fucking hashish.
We don't trust when there's an Indian on the other line. It's not because they're Indian. Indians are some of the smartest people on the planet.
Absolutely.
But these scammers in India, honestly, have given India a bad name.
Yeah. All those call centers and shit.
Yep. Yeah. And it's nothing against Indians. It's nothing against India. But unfortunately, that's where the scammers are, you know. Now, to be fair, my brother he almost got scammed the other day. And it's what he told me, it sounded like an American on the phone.
Hmm. Yeah, so there are some dangerous Americans
out there too.
No, 100%. I think you gotta be aware when people are calling you, opposed to when you're calling, like what we were saying. Like, if I'm calling, let's say AT&T, because I need to resolve something, you're transferring me to somebody all the way in India who has no fucking clue about any of the shit. And then they're just no help, the customer service people. That's my thing. They're really no help because they don't really understand.
Yeah.
You can't help me if you don't understand me.
Yeah.
I have this issue. Okay, Sarah, did you try restarting your phone? Yeah, obviously. Yeah, no, I did everything that I could possibly do. This is why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
Because I need you to do technical shit that I can't do now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I love the Louis C.K. bit. It's like, no, I want to talk to, like, you know, the happy Texan lady. Well, how can I help you?
Yeah, babe. So, I want to ask you. All right, we were talking about it a little bit earlier before we started, but what is it, MUFON?
MUFON, the Mutual Unidentified Flying Objects Network.
Talk to me about that.
All right, so
my boy has a membership card.
Yeah.
By the way, fire.
So I've always been really interested in science, but I didn't really want to go back to school for 14 years to become a professional scientist. So I'm like, okay, what can I do as a civilian to contribute to the scientific field? And I'm like, oh, UFOs are dope. So I found MUFON actually in a documentary. It was a documentary. I think it was just called UFO on Amazon. And it was a J.J. Abrams documentary about UFO. And they mentioned MUFON in the documentary. But so, yeah, it's a scientific community. It's just researching and finding UFOs.
So let me ask you, what does the membership include?
So
I know it's a paid membership.
Yeah. Right now I have a basic membership. So really you get a newsletter and journal. Now what you can do with this membership though, the next step is, and that's what I'm studying for right now, is becoming a certified field investigator. You have to take a test, everything. Really? You have to have, you just have to study. So right now, my status in the group is basic. It's basic. Mm-hmm. I don't have any authority or anything like that. But once I pass this exam and become a certified field investigator, they're going to start assigning me cases and stuff like that. So if you ever, yeah, and if anyone ever sees a UFO or something that they don't quite understand, report it on our website, MUFON.com. Report it. It goes in our data bank. We'll assign you a field investigator. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can figure out.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I'm a nerd with shit like that. I love that.
Yeah, I'm actually going out on a sabbatical this October. I'm going to the Mojave to do some it's a research trip, and it's also going to be a vacation, but I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna be staying at a motel right next to Area 51.
Wow!
See what I can see.
That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
when are you doing this again?
October. The break in October.
Oh, in the break during the break. Okay.
What do you think you're gonna see?
Probably nothing. But I really want to go to the Mojave. I'm also gonna go to. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but I'm a pretty big Fallout fan. I'm going down to Good Springs.
Couldn't notice.
Good Springs, Nevada.
I did pick up on that.
Slightly. Yeah. Good Springs, Nevada.
So have you ever seen a UFO?
I have not had an experience, actually.
You haven't?
I have not had an experience.
Have you?
I feel like I have, but it's...
Like what?
I feel like there was something here. I mean, you can't really... it's hard to say, right? It was in Bay Ridge... And there was just like loud noises coming from the sky. Like,
interesting.
Almost like a rumbling or something. I don't know if you, who was I with? I might've been with Keanu or might've been with Jovan. We were walking down the block and you just, like, you heard things happening above you. I don't know. Like, we were making a joke, like, it sounds like aliens are fighting up there.
Right.
It was like rumbling. It was like bangs. It was like something that I couldn't explain, but it could have been anything. Could have been planes. It could have been fucking an echo from maybe a construction site.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that I wasn't the only one who heard it.
Yeah.
But again, I can't say, like, you know, for sure that was an experience. But that's why I say kind of, like, you know, I don't know what it was. But I know that there were things happening above me.
Mm-hmm,
right. You know what I'm saying? And again, you know, we do live relatively close to a
military base,
airport.
Yeah.
You know,
we are
JFK. So it is possible that maybe it was just like a plane, or maybe it was like we said, like I said, construction or something. But there were sounds that didn't feel like they were coming
normal,
from here,
right?
You know, or normal. Yeah.
The only experience that I've had where I thought I might have seen a UFO. I went to a baseball game. I think I was with my wife. This was years ago. We went to go see the Brooklyn Cyclones. Is that the Mets or the Yankees?
Mets.
Yeah, okay. So we went to go see the
Yankees or the
Staten Island Yankees. Yes, you're right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we went to go see a Brooklyn Cyclone game, and I remember sitting there, and for like, I would say at least the majority of the game, at least from the moment that I noticed it, there was this thing in the sky, and it was just kind of like there, like just wasn't moving. It was there for so long. And initially I was like, I didn't know what I thought it was, but I was like, oh, did you see that? And then my wife saw it, and like someone next to us who was sitting next to us kind of realized it too. It was like, oh yeah, there is something up there. Couldn't really make out at all what it was.
Was it like a dot?
Or? It was like a dot, like, you know, just like this dot that was in the sky. And it clearly was like,
but you don't think it could have been a star or anything?
No, it certainly wasn't a star. It wasn't like part of a cloud or anything. You know, it just was there and I could see it. It gave off very little light, but it was still noticeable. Like if you looked up at it, you could definitely tell that it was something. No idea what it was. It didn't do anything cool or, you know, anything like that. It was just there at one moment. And then I think by the end of the game, it was just gone all of a sudden.
Wow.
You know, 7-9 stretch, it left.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly. It was
I was watching the game with you guys, yeah, like, exactly. The fucking Cyclones lost. Sorry, yeah,
okay. We're out of here.
Gotta leave this Milky Way galaxy.
We're right next to a hot spot, big hot spot. The Hudson Valley is a big UFO hot spot.
Really?
And also, I believe the Hudson Valley, I heard this, apparently it does have a top secret military base in the Hudson Valley. There's like an East Coast
Area 51. Area
51.
Kind of I believe that. I feel like there's an Area 51 in a lot of places. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be these top secure places where they're gonna reverse engineer, or you know, almost like an autopsy, right?
So, do you guys think, especially you, Colin, with you know, your membership? Do we think UFOs are real? Or a better question, do we think aliens exist? And if they do, are they actually visiting us?
Well, so as a scientist, I do not like the word believe. It either is or isn't, right?
Sure.
So I haven't had an experience. Technically, there is not hard, touchable, malleable evidence that there are aliens. I guess, nothing tangible, at least that I'm aware of. I want them to exist.
Right.
And I do think it's more likely than not that they do and are visiting.
Yes.
Now, and I think that they're related to us DNA-wise. If they're bipedal, if what people are saying, like these gray Martians, if what they're saying, if that's what they are, they have arms, legs, and a head exactly like we do, we're cousins. We share DNA. We come from them.
Agreed.
You know?
I feel like it was a little genetic modification with us, you know?
There's no reason they should look similar. There's no reason they should look humanoid unless we were related.
Agreed, yeah. There's no, like, the aliens in the movies, 9 times out of 10, are more unrealistic than what the aliens in real life will look like, because
they're probably going to look like us, bro.
But if they came from if they indeed came from a different part of the galaxy, the odds that they look like us are very slim.
Yeah.
You can look right here on Earth, okay?
You can't find it.
And humans look slightly different from other humans. Granted, we all have arms, legs, and this and that, and a head. But there are plenty of animals who look nothing like humans, and they live right here with us. Take squid, for example.
Yeah.
They are nothing like humans.
Octopus. They're
nothing like humans.
They're alien.
They're alien for the most part.
Yeah.
All right. So to think that some alien that lives in the Andromeda galaxy, for example, would look anything like us is a bit preposterous, because there are already things here on the same planet as us that look nothing like us.
Yeah.
So I understand that logic. But for me, the best way I could say is like, all right, I'm Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in Puerto Rico. Doesn't mean I'm not Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So these people or aliens, extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, if they do look like us and they are outside the Andromeda galaxy, they have the ability to travel over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without taking millions of years. Who's to say that they didn't come and you know, intertwine with us, do that, and then go back home.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's who's to say that
they don't look like us? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you're saying somebody in the Andromeda galaxy probably doesn't look like us, but who's to say they didn't come here and drop us off here or create us to look like them?
Right.
Because, like you said, we're the only ones on this planet that really look like this. We're the weird ones.
Yeah.
Most of the other animals fucking have, you know, they're on fours.
I think that we have cousins out there. I think there's a good chance that out there in our galaxy,
the Anunnaki.
With the what?
The Anunnaki.
Anunnaki?
Yeah.
That's so familiar. What is that?
That's the aliens. It's like a race of aliens, the Anunnaki.
Oh.
And like, I think the Anunnakis were the one who contacted the Sumerians.
I feel like.
Oh yeah, that stuff is great. That's when we should. This is. Duchamp has some really great opinions about
on that.
Not necessarily the Sumerians, but like, and this is why Hinduism rocks, is because I think that Hinduism is actually
I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita right now, which is one of the most holiest
Hindu books. Yeah.
It's funny because I was actually just having a similar conversation last night about all of this stuff. So with Jovan,
I don't feel like we're alone in the universe. I feel like to think that would be kind of crazy. It's not impossible, but
we can't be the only living, like a planet with living, like it's impossible.
So here's the thing.
Galaxy is way too big. The universe is way too vast for us to be the only things here.
But here's the problem though, right? Here's the problem that a lot of scientists are having is that our galaxy is just about as old as the universe is. Mm. So if the galaxy has been here that long and the universe is that old, where is everybody?
Staying away from our unintelligent asses, our uninvolved.
Here's a good quote by Arthur C. Clarke. Two possibilities exist. Either we are alone in the universe or we are not. Both are equally terrifying.
They are. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think as I've gotten older and I've learned more about like the universe, I feel like what's probably more likely is that intelligent life forms like us, like humans who can think and have societies and, you know, I'm not talking about like just dogs, cats, animals or whatnot, like, you know, intelligent thinking beings that have the potential to travel, you know, space. I think it's more likely that there's one, maybe two per galaxy, reason why we haven't found anything, because we're the only ones in the Milky Way galaxy. It's just us.
Or we're just not technologically advanced as we think we are.
Even if we're not, there would be signs, okay? Our technology has grown to a point where you would
see. There has been signs,
Nothing enough to be like, that like is definitely, you know, some sort of intelligent life form. Like when that star, when it had those often dips, dimming in light, and they were kind of confused as to what that could have been. One of the theories was, perhaps there's a Dyson sphere around the star. Okay, right, that could be an explanation of why this is happening. And if there's a Dyson sphere around the star, then that means there's some sort of life forms there. Came to the conclusion that it was something else. It's not a Dyson sphere that's around.
That's
the
like
star.
That. I mean, that would represent that they're like a class 3 civilization, right?
Yeah, I think Dyson sphere is like a class 2 or 3 something. Yeah. Like
the Dyson
that.
Sphere is the thing that they put over the sun, right?
Yeah, they use it to harness just, the power. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, again, where
I just,
are these?
I just seen a video about that.
It's everybody a type 0 civilization? Because I feel like these type 1s or 2s or 3s, if they existed, they'd be, you know, somewhat visible. At the same time, maybe not.
Or not, because maybe they know more than us. Maybe they realize that them trying to contact us or have any involvement anywhere else, like with anyone else, could cause a bigger problem. Like, maybe, you know, like the fucking terrorists of the universe. You know what I'm saying?
They don't know where we are,
or they don't know where they are.
So I have
if they make that contact, you lose your cover.
So let me ask you a question then, okay? So based on what you said, I get what you're saying, right? But why would they care? Let me ask you a question. Do we care about how it affects us when we go into the deepest, how it affects them when we go into the deepest depths of the ocean and find these new creatures? We don't care about disturbing whatever they have going on.
It's not
on.
About disturbing.
You go to an alien rainforest. I mean, not an alien. You go to the Amazon rainforest, and there's a whole bunch of stuff there. We've done all types of stuff there. Nobody is concerned about what the animals might think or the repercussions of us being there would be. Why would some aliens from another planet who are far more superior than us, because they would have to be
because
if they could get here,
because
why would they care?
Because they're more advanced than us. That's not to say that there isn't something that's scarier, bigger, and more advanced than them. Mm. That's my point is, if I locked you right now in a cage, right, with a bunch of lions, are you going to scream at the top of your lungs so that the lions know you're there, or are you going to stay hidden?
Yeah, but I'd be able to see the lions. That's the thing.
You would be.
I wouldn't be able to be hidden.
I mean, listen, yes. I get it, but let's say there's a tree and you were on the tree in this cage and the lions didn't know you were there. Would you scream and get their attention? No, you're going to die because now the lions know you're there. So why would they send out any type of like that? This is why it's stupid that we do it, that we're sending out signals to try to see if anybody's out there because we don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
And what's out there could be a fucking world eating entity. Of course.
Yeah, they have said like you know, let's pump the brakes on sending signals
out. Yeah. It's bad enough our radio waves, they don't stop traveling. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, here's the thing too.
It can get dicey.
My theory is if there's something coming to this planet, they're biologists. That's what they are. They're biologists. They're studying us. Though we may be.
Omamo, that's what it's called? The asteroid?
The asteroid that they say they're hiding in?
Yeah, that might have been a probe that passed us.
Possibly.
The first interstellar object that we had seen.
Oh, wait, that long fucking, it looked like a hot dog almost? Yeah. Shape.
Oh, that one that just passed by the ISS.
Yes, yes.
I thought it just looked like space debris.
It did look like space debris.
It looked like garbage.
But... Well, the thing what they were saying, the weird thing about it was that it didn't come from... it didn't come from our solar system. It's one of the first objects that we've detected that came from somewhere else that wasn't in our like immediate vicinity.
So it traveled
a very far way, and the way it traveled was also kind of strange. Right. It traveled more like
a ship than
some random object,
Random floating rock.
Another thing too, as well. I'm going to bring science fiction in here just because. So in Star Trek, they have the Prime Directive, right?
Sure.
They're not allowed to interact with with
developing
species. Yeah. So that could be something that that could
possibly
be applied.
So once we discover warp drive, we'll be led into the
Federation. The thing is, they know how to make a warp drive engine. They know how to do it, but it's impossible right now. We don't have the power. We need so much power.
The blueprints are there. But we probably need the power of the fucking sun. We need a Dyson
fusion.
Sphere.
We need fusion.
Yeah, the problem is fuel. Even with the spacecrafts that we have now, you have to have enough fuel to propel it when it's in space, on top of enough fuel to get it into space in the first place. And then you also have to have enough fuel to hold the fuel. You know, the heavier you are, the more fuel you need to, you know, propel yourself. So it's really difficult. To kind of, like you said, have the actual power and energy to kind of travel pretty far, which is again why I'm not really sure why intelligent life would necessarily bother with us. Like, I think if they're out there,
scientific curiosity, perhaps.
Yeah. But again, to what extent? Again, my analogy back to the ants in the rainforest. We don't go and talk to every single ant colony that's out there. Why? We don't care.
Right. But we
do document every single ant colony.
No, we don't. There's plenty of ant colonies that's never seen humans a day in their life and that never will. That ant colony will be built and destroyed before any human comes in any sort of vicinity of it.
I hear this a lot, like people comparing humanity to ant colonies.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair, though, because... Again, though they might be way ahead of us. This is fascinating to look at. If I was an alien and I found us, I'd be like, "Oh shit, I'm going to study these guys."
No, of course, agreed.
Oh, if we went to a planet and we seen a city, it doesn't matter how we're going to be impressed.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how dumb they are.
This lesser speed, they just invented the microchip, guys. They're actually on their way to. Advancing, they just gotta, you know. Oh man, they're killing each other over a fictional thing in the sky. Right. Oh my gosh, this is interesting.
And agree, and
is this aliens or America?
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that point. But again, my point is, if there are many of them out there, how many of them do you stop and check out? How often do you walk past a garden and stop and look at the bugs in the garden? Very rarely.
When they're unique,
you might look past. Okay, but a bug is a bug. Okay, so if you walk past a bunch of bugs or whatever in one garden, you may stop like, oh, yeah, these are some cool bugs here. And you look at them and, oh, look at this one here, this and that. All right, but then you walk down the street and there's another garden. Guess what? You probably walked right past it.
But that's just like us. We're not so like a bug biologist, an expert. He's going to be he or she's going to be a total nerd about it. You know, he's going to flip out.
But he's not going to see every single one that there is to see, especially on a planet like Earth,
right,
which is large. So now we're talking about the universe, which is potentially infinite.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it would be, even if there are aliens out there, it would be really hard for them to stop and see every single form of intelligent life that may or may not be out there, especially when it's so plentiful.
This planet is a rare one, though.
It's extremely rare. We have yet to find anything like Earth or anything close to it.
Nothing even has liquid water, right?
Well, no, there's a lot of places with water.
They think Titan 2 has liquid water.
Probably has water.
Yeah, but not like
Mars has water.
Us.
Yeah. No, Titan supposedly has more water than we have on the entire planet.
Yeah, now they found ice on the moon.
Yeah, ice on the moon.
I've seen the moon is rusting. Did you see that?
Rusting.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Well, there is a whole theory about the moon being a spaceship.
Yeah, no, well, it is a thing. There's a
Doctor Who episode water. Where the moon was actually an egg of a larger... alien species.
Imagine
The moon that would be crazy. Actually an
Speaking
egg.
Of Doctor Who, did you see that they're coming out with a new one on Disney?
Yeah, it's not a new one. It's a continuation of. It's another season. It's a new Doctor, a new TARDIS. I'm not sure if it's a new companion. I haven't seen the previous season, but it's not a new Doctor Who.
Oh, I thought
it's
it was
a new season with a new Doctor.
Mm, okay.
No? Yeah. So. But I mean, again, it's interesting. I do not think we're alone. I'm just not sure aliens are here watching us. And if they are watching us, why? I do think that it's possible, though, because there are some other things that I feel like are a little suspicious,
like
our growth in technology.
People see some weird stuff.
What if we're just like a zoo?
We could be like a zoo.
They're just like, haha, look at these funny.
Let's go look at the sapiens. Well, they don't know we're called sapiens. I don't know what the hell they call us. I think we should rename the planet from Earth to Sapien, because we are the rulers of the planet, right? I think we should call Earth Sapien.
Yeah.
Planet Sapien or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's our planet. We're the rulers of this planet. This is our planet.
I think the name is Earth.
I like Earth.
Yeah.
Earth is a good name.
But can't any planet be an Earth? Like, doesn't Earth just mean habitable planet?
Characteristics.
I think it's what we've called this planet, because we don't call other planets Earth,
right?
And other moons.
But we say other planets are Earth-like.
Yeah, but that's to use a comparison of like, oh, because again, the planets in our solar system, none of them are Earth-like. Mm-hmm. So when you do see one that's kind of like Earth, it's like, oh, well, this planet that we found wherever the fuck, it's kind of similar to Earth. But the sun is not, the sun is a star or whatever that we call the sun. Our star name is the sun or soul. Mm-hmm. All right. Our moon's name is a moon, but it's also called Luna.
Isn't that what a day on Mars is? A soul? One soul?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it is. You guys ever see The Martian
with
Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Arguably the best science fiction movie, or the most accurate science fiction movie of all time.
I would say one of the best was Interstellar, that movie.
Yeah, that was good. Contact. So good. If you want a good, this one actually I think you would really enjoy, Contact with Jodie Foster.
Did you see The Fourth Kind?
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Fourth Kind?
I haven't seen The Fourth Kind.
For somebody who's into UFOs, first of all, in The Fourth Kind, they show you the actual footage and the movie. So the movie is obviously Hollywood magic,
right,
but they're showing you the real life footage
side by side
and a lot of things. Bro, there's like, I didn't even want to blow it up. Watch The Fourth Kind. I guarantee you that you're going to be like, what the fuck? It's such a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I'm going to watch it. That's Bruce Willis? He's in the other one.
No, there's a famous actor in there, though. I forget who he is.
It's a female lead. I can't remember her name.
My favorite UFO movie of all time is Close Encounters with the Third Kind.
That's a good one, too.
That's an excellent one.
Signs is another one that I really like.
Signs was a good one.
That was like one of
the crop circle one.
Oh, yeah. With Mel? Yeah, that was good.
And Night Shyamalan.
The aliens were naked.
We could do a classic, man. Mars Attacks, right?
Mars Attacks. Oh, man. That fun movies. Such a fun movie. As a kid,
who's
bro.
Who's in that? Like, everyone's in that. Like, Jim Brown's in it.
Everybody's in that.
It's Jack Nicholson.
Great the dude movie. That sings, it's not unusual.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Another good one. Have you guys seen They Live? John Carpenter's They Live.
No.
Oh, it sounds so aliens familiar.
Aliens living among us, and they're like hiding.
Yeah, that's the one with whatchamacallit, Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, no, right. Goodness. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Yes, that's a good movie.
That was a fun one. Yeah.
Classic.
Good stuff.
She like wakes up and she's sleeping with an alien and she's like, "Oh my god!" At the end,
that's fucking hilarious.
Great movie. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see sooner rather than later about some of these aliens. I'm really excited for like the future of humanity when it comes to space and some brilliant minds out there that we got, like Elon and Neil deGrasse and Colin.
Thanks, man. I try. While you were gone, I was mentioning I'm studying right now to become a field investigator on MUFON. So I'll actually start doing proper research once
I need to get on and move
on. You guys should come join. It's great. I think it's great, you know, because I used to be really into politics and it was unhealthy, to be honest.
I like politics.
I'm into world politics, not necessarily U.S. specifically. Yeah. Like, I'm really.
I like U.S. politics because it's a fucking circus.
Yeah, so I need to get away from politics because it was just not so great. And I decided, science. I like that. Science is great.
Yeah, science is great. I always kind of deemed myself as a amateur scientist. Like, I felt like...
Well, let's make it real, dude. Join the MUFON.
Honestly, before I started at B&H, I had considered going to school for physics.
Yeah. I'm always considering it, but...
Yeah, but the time that you
not
have
a whole lot of
spend,
money in that industry, man. You
well,
know?
On the contrary, there is some money in it. Depending on, you know, if you get the right opportunities, you can make a decent amount.
Yeah. It takes a long time, though, because at that point, you want to get your doctorates. You don't want to stop at a master's.
Yeah.
You need to get your doctorates.
Yeah, you need to really, like, get it in.
If you want to be taken seriously, you need a PhD.
Yeah, for sure. Or, you know, do some, like, different types of research on your own and, you know, win a Nobel Peace Prize or something like that.
That's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah, this was great.
A nice, like,
this is great, guys. This
nice,
has been
solid,
fantastic.
Like, hour and a half conversation, it feels like.
Yeah, we did that. It was an hour and a half.
Was
it?
Yeah. Oh, look at me. Yeah.
Would love to come back on anytime. Just shoot me a message.
We love having you on.
What's going to happen is that we're going to get our MUFON.
We're going to get our MUFON memberships.
And then.
For sure.
Then we're going to do the podcast.
We'll have an episode.
Imposter Syndrome. MUFON.
The MUFON edition.
MUFON. A couple, a bunch of MUFONs. Unfortunately, the New York, because it's broken up by states. So our state director is a man named Chris DiPerno. Unfortunately, they don't do meetings, but the Connecticut MUFON does monthly meetings, which
I
is
mean,
nice.
Are we able to go for board members?
We can. Let's go up to Connecticut. It's every first Saturday of every month. Let's go to a MUFON meeting up in Connecticut.
We can do that, or we could also maybe start holding MUFON meetings ourselves.
That's a good idea. We can get in touch with Chris and actually start a New York City team.
Yeah, we can start a team in New York City, and you know, we can do our own stuff.
Next step after getting your membership, buy the manual. I would recommend getting the hard copy because the digital copy sucks. You need Wi-Fi to access it. It's useless. Buy the manual and then get a field investigator license.
Definitely going to get that field investigator license.
Yeah, definitely.
It just has a flex.
With the field investigator, you get an ID with your face on it.
If you're
a field investigator. And it doesn't cost any extra money. Well, the manual costs like $112. It's a textbook, you know.
I would definitely be wearing that field investigator badge at work at B&H. That'd be a nice addition.
I'd wear it at Comic-Con, and people probably think that I'm not, like, it's like, yo, what is that, MUFON? Like, bro, this is real.
We have our symposium next month, June. It's in Texas. I'm not going, but I'm going to watch it online.
Yeah, it's going to be, MUFON. Let's do this. I'm excited to MUFON. Colin, thank you
so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks you. Thanks guys for having me on. It's
great conversation.
It's fantastic.
It's a pleasure. As I expected.
Absolutely.
I guess this is another episode of the Imposter Syndrome podcast. It's your boy Quay Jones.
It's your boy Rich Banks.
Rich Banks. And Colin, again, thank you for joining us.
Round of applause for my man Colin.
You got it. Yeah. Great
talking to you. Now that's all I hear.
It was fun. You want to, plug anything?
If anyone has an experience, a weird thing in the sky, report it on MUFON.com. You'll be assigned a field investigator.
Awesome.
It's a budding scientific field. I hope by the time I'm dead, there's doctorates in the field of ufology. I know that India, they have doctorates in ufology in India.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. They're big into it. Hinduism and ufology go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps one of us might be that field investigator that you get assigned to.
Right.
If you got any problems.
If you're in New York City.
You're in New York City.
There aren't many of us in New York City.
Who are you going to call?
MUFON. New York team.
New York division.
New York division. Yes. Yeah.
You got to make it sound official.
All right, guys. Well, this is Imposter Central Podcast. We will see you guys next time. Oh, don't forget to share this episode. Don't forget to, leave feedback. You can leave feedback on Spotify about the episodes. I don't know if you guys realize that, but that is a feature on feedback to leave comments on Spotify, to leave comments. Share with your friends if you like this episode. Go back and watch listen to some past episodes as well. And we will see you guys next time.
Very soon.